All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Trump, day three, you are fired. Eventually, we'll lose track of the days. But for right now, it's fun. Trump, day three. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Jana Jones is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Jamil Housen's on. Will Gilbert's on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Michigan Exposed is on. PD Frank is on. D9597 is on. Judy Anita's on. John Phillips is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Mom Dex is on. Dave Souders is on. Mike Griffith's on. Big Jim Go Blue's on. Gritterdom is on. Sir Woo 45 is on. Sweaty's on. Why Not Me is on. Joins is on. Florida Bubs is on. Let me see here. Peg Joe's on. Jamil House is on. Deb Plan is on. Supergirl 21 is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Let me see. Six Lynn is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. The one and only Salty Gonads is on. Granite 2468 is on. Confederate One is on. Sheila K is on. Joe Heathen's on. Let me see here. General Lee 78 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Let me see who I missed here. Anybody? We got Drummer for Jesus is on. Luann 5 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. So I couldn't ask for anything more. You know, the only thing that I don't like, I'll be honest with you, is the AI stuff. I don't like it. We'll see what Trump does with it. The AI stuff, you know, with the three major AI platform, you know, people from yesterday. I mean, that made me nervous, starting talking about mRNA. I mean, yeah, on Trump Day 2, did I really want to hear about mRNA? No. Do I trust any of these? I mean, absolutely not. I don't trust any of the three people that were up there, SoftBank, OpenAI, all the, you know, the heads of those companies. I don't trust any of them, but I do trust Trump. And I don't trust any person 100%, but I do trust Trump. He is an outsider. We'll see what he does. It's a $500 billion basically server farm that they're making, putting it in Texas somewhere, trying to get out ahead of AI so the United States is proactive, getting out ahead of AI, controlling AI, getting ahead of China. That's the point of all of it. China's major AI right now. The whole country's run by a social credit system. If I have time, we have a little bit on that tonight. But that's the only part that I haven't liked so far. Now, everything else I've loved. Everything else, pretty much, I have loved. I've loved every bit of it. Trump is doing, he's doing the ban and flood the zone thing. The media cannot keep up with all that Trump is doing. This is what you can actually do in public service, by the way. You can actually do a lot of things. What we've all gotten used to, and many people, not us, you know, that watch this podcast and all the other good podcasts, we haven't been brainwashed, but a lot of people have been brainwashed into a president who calls a lid at 11 o'clock in the morning every day, who gets up at 10 and calls a little 11 and accomplishes absolutely nothing and went on vacation for basically 50% of his presidency. Joe Biden was on vacation. So what we're seeing right now is a man who sleeps about 3 hours a night. People say he doesn't sleep six. He sleeps 3 to 4 hours a night. He's up all night. So he's working basically 21 hour days, and he's getting a lot of stuff done. He's accomplished more in the first 2.5 days of his presidency than Joe Biden did his entire presidency. Joe Biden has said, now, this is so everybody knows, in case I don't get to some of this stuff, the entire southern border is closed. There's not one person illegally that's coming through. That's known. There might be people sneaking in, but there's nobody that's being allowed in. Zero. How is that possibly done without James Cuckboy Lankford's border security bill in collusion with and cooperation with Chuckie Schumer, you know, the Republican senator out of Oklahoma, because Joe Biden said he couldn't unilaterally shut down the border. Then how's Trump done it? If you can't do it, then how's Trump done it? The southern border is closed. The northern border is closed. There's nobody coming in that's not sneaking in right now, gotaways. Nobody. How's that done without Cuckboy Lankford's bill? Like, why are you so angry at James Lankford? Because I can't stand people who aren't what they say they are. Can't stand it. I'm kind of a jerk. I admit it in life. That's kind of who I am. I don't mince words. I kind of am. I don't act like a super nice person. You know why, Aaron?
Why?
Because I'm not. So I don't act like one. I don't act like a super nice person. I don't act syrupy sweet because I'm not. So it's not that I'm a jerk or anything, but you know what? I list way more towards jerk than syrupy sweet. So I don't act like, so when James Cuckboy Lankford goes in smoke-filled back rooms of the Senate and orchestrates a border security bill that we have to have. We have to have, and I'm, it's all in my mind right now. I have all the statistics from that bill. I'm trying to not get into it. That we just have to shut down the border. That's still allowed in. Basically 100% of the 15,000 per day Biden was allowing in every day. Didn't do anything at all except to send more people down to the border to facilitate people coming illegally through the border. That's all that it did. And Biden said for 4 years, I can't shut down the border. Then why was Trump able to do it in 2 days? It wasn't even 2 days. It was shut down yesterday. It was shut down in 12 hours. It was shut down in 1 hour. Executive order was signed. Border shut. Okay, it's done. Then weren't we saying that on this podcast, Aaron? Weren't we saying that on Will on this podcast? Weren't we saying that you can do an executive order, shut down the border?
Yep.
You don't even need to do an executive order because the border is supposed to already be shut.
Right.
All right, so let's get into all the firings. Insurrection Barbie video. Donald Trump is cleaning house at the DOJ already. This is what you have to do. And if you're one of these people who's a compassionate Christian or a compassionate conservative, go sit in the stands for the next 4 years and stay out of our way. Stay out of our way with your little stupid compassion and just be victimized again. That's like being compassionate to your sexual abuser. You're going to keep being compassionate and you're going to keep getting raped. You're compassionate with your thief. Maybe you got a thieving uncle you let live with you and he steals out of your wallet every day and you're so compassionate because you don't want to call him out on it. You don't want to call the cops on him. Well, he's just going to keep stealing from you then. You, all of you, compassionate Christians and compassionate, because go sit in the stands and shut up. Because give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Don't keep offering kindness to people who are going to trample that kindness under their feet and turn around and rend you. That's not me speaking. That's Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. So Trump is doing what you're supposed to do. First of all, cleaning out his oppressors at the DOJ. Play for me, Will.
Now to a major shakeup at the U.S. Justice Department, sidelining top prosecutors. Our senior justice correspondent, Evan Perez, is on the story for us. Evan, who is out and why?
Well, Wolf, this is what the retribution that Donald Trump had promised during the time he was campaigning that was coming to the Justice Department. Of course, as you know, the Justice Department brought two criminal cases against the president, and now he wants to make sure that the Justice Department can never do anything like that again. And what we've learned is that there are at least 20 career officials who have gotten reassignment notices. These are people who were working in the National Security Division, people working in international extraditions, people working in immigration matters, all have been told that in the next couple of weeks they need to show up to be reassigned at new roles. And so these are career officials that would normally, Wolf, be protected by the civil service rules in this country. Up to 120 days that you're supposed to not be able to get reassigned when a new administration turns over. That is not the case in this, what is happening right now. We also know, Wolf, that there's been some other officials, career officials, who've been sidelined at some of the U.S. attorney's offices around the country, some of the prominent ones, including here in Washington, the D.C. U.S. attorney, where the career official who is serving as the acting U.S. attorney has been replaced by Ed Martin. He is a MAGA activist, someone who was working on the Stop the Steal movement back in 2020. Of course, that's the thing that ended up with people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. There's also another change at the Eastern District of New York. John Durham, who's the son of the former special counsel John Durham, he's been assigned to be the acting U.S. attorney there. Danielle Sassoon has been moved to be the acting U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York. Well, as part of these changes yesterday, also the deputy attorney general, career agent at the FBI, Paul Abate, he was told to essentially, he was pushed out where the Trump administration brought in two new inside inside internal FBI officials to serve both as acting director of the FBI and deputy director. Wolf, a lot of changes coming. We expect that there are more to come in the coming days.
I suspect you are right. More changes.
All right, so there we go. Now, this Trump is doing exactly what we talked about on this podcast. Not saying it's because of this podcast, certainly. I'm just saying that you had an acting FBI director because Christopher Wray resigned. And of course, it's a typical swampy Democrat. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're, say, you're Republican or Democrat. If you operate in the swamp, whether you got an R or a D, you are an establishment swampster. You are a deep stater. So that acting FBI director that took Christopher Wray's spot suddenly retired. Probably maybe he wasn't swampy enough. So then there was another acting FBI director. He's been pushed aside for both a Trump acting director and a Trump assistant acting director. That is what you have to do. Because nobody understands these transition times. Neither did I till 3 weeks ago. But what happens is all of these Biden appointees and Biden hires, their jobs are null and void at noon on the 20th. And they all have their replacements already in place. Until you replace the replacements, you still have the Biden administration running the country. Trump already knows this. And he's going around and firing and reassigning all of these people. Let's go through the list. And of course, with the CNN, and Wolf Blitzer shaking his head about, oh, I can't believe he's firing these people. Why can't he fire him, Wolf? It's the Trump administration. It's not the Biden administration. It's the Trump administration. So everybody left over from the Biden administration needs to be fired or reassigned out of any sphere of influence. Gonzo. That's what needs to happen. They've done enough damage to this country. We've had enough. We're done with it. What's the date today, Aaron? 23rd?
22nd.
22nd. So listen, we're 2 days in. We don't watch you. We didn't watch you a day ago. I didn't watch you at 12 and 2 seconds in. Gone. That's exactly what needs to happen. So Wolf can shake his head all he wants. And the little propaganda CNN liar. And this is the same thing. They're all in cahoots together. Like I was looking at a 1-6 Blaze video on YouTube today. Underneath YouTube has to explain to all of us on YouTube. Because it was a 1-6 video put out by Glenn Beck and the Blaze. That has to explain to us that this was a real insurrectionist attack on 1-6 of 2020. We all need that explained. I need that. As a 56-year-old man, I need some guy living in his mother's basement eating Hot Pockets and watching porn all day. Write that little explanation on the bottom. I'm good. And it's the same thing with this reporter. He has to gaslight all of this. So what really happened on 1-6? He's going to come after the DOJ for the retribution that he promised. Trump didn't promise any retribution. What he said was, I am your retribution. That's what he said. That's the worst thing he said. And he said, the greatest revenge will be our success. So he never specified any retribution whatsoever. So the CNN reporter is lying and then gaslighting about what happened on the attack on the Capitol. Again, I'm going to get into some Capitol, some 1-6 stuff. Because that's what all we're hearing about now because of Trump pardoning 1,500 J6 prisoners, J6 hostages, as Bannon calls them. So we're going to have to fire back at their lies about 1-6. But again, attack on the Capitol, really, okay. So at bare minimum, you got 2,000. Capitol Hill, you got more than that. You got thousands of Capitol police officers, Metro police officers, because Nancy Pelosi refused to call in 10,000 National Guard troops. And Mark Milley, the day before, made it impossible to call them in, even if you wanted to call them in, via his memo. So, with the 1-6 stuff, there's a whole lot more to that, of course. And this guy, this reporter, is just going to go on the very surface level mumbo jumbo about it. And as if he has to tell us all what really happened on that day. No, you know what? We're good. I already understand what happened on that day. I don't need that guy to explain it to me. So here's some other ones for you. Acting U.S. attorney, fired. Civil service rule, he talks about the civil service rules being violated. Violate them. Remember, what are the new rules? Remember, if you're going to fight in a war, you know what the greatest summation of the rules of combat is? There are none. There really are none. I mean, there's some real combat. I'm not talking about executing civilians. I'm talking about combat. You don't go up there and say, well, I'm not going to shoot that guy in the groin. No, you shoot him wherever you can. There's no rules in combat. So the new political combat rules are, there are none. Well, there's these established civil service rules that you have to give a person 4 months notice. But all the rest of the world, it's 2 weeks. Rest of the world, it's 14 days. If you're a government civil service employee, you get 120 days notice. Well, Trump's just violating that. Good. What are they going to do about it? Make them do something about it. Just like don't execute any of Biden's pardons. Don't execute them. He wants to do them in the last 4 minutes of his presidency. Fine. Don't execute them. You execute him you go ahead and execute him yourself. If you want to do your pardon 6 months in advance, 1 month in advance, you can execute them via your own DOJ. But now when you do them 4 months before you leave, 4 minutes before you leave office, then you make the next DOJ execute and process your pardons. Just don't process them. Who cares? Just have it go to the Supreme Court. We're going to do that with the 14th Amendment anyway, with birthright citizenship. Let's go. Let's bring it. Just end birthright citizenship. Then, Tom, you're going to have a court battle. Who cares? It's the new rules. There are none. Joe Biden did it. SCOTUS ruled. You are not allowed to pay people's college loans back for them. They did it anyway. Over and over and over again. Hundreds of millions of our dollars gone to pay back people for the humanities degrees. You and I are paying for that. So Joe Biden does, the new rules are, there are no rules. Do whatever you want to do. They can now eat their own agenda. They can now reap what they've sown. Enjoy it, Democrats. Hopefully you're a Democrat that stumbled onto this podcast. Enjoy the next 4 years of us abiding by your rules, which is, there are none. So you know what? Even with a pardon, all these people, now just keep doing the investigations. Why? Because if you are pardoned, you have no Fifth Amendment rights. Everybody know that? If you are pardoned, you have no Fifth Amendment rights. You cannot refuse to testify under the grounds that you'll incriminate yourself, because there's nothing to incriminate you for. Except if you decide to exercise your Fifth Amendment rights, then you just committed a crime. Or you're perjured yourself after that, because the pardon doesn't cover that. So all these people still need to be investigated, still need to be brought before congressional hearings under subpoenas under real select committees that can actually issue subpoenas. And they all need to be interrogated and questioned. And if they perjure themselves, it's not covered by the pardon. If they refuse to answer questions, then they're also violating the law too, because they have no Fifth Amendment rights. So they are not allowed to not answer questions. How about that? Bring it on. Let's enjoy it, Democrats, the next 4 years. You loved it. You loved it when I was banned off Facebook. You loved it when Trump was banned off of Twitter, when Bannon was banned off of Twitter, when Bongino was banned off of YouTube. You wanted all that. You wanted all this lawlessness and this complete disregard for the Bill of Rights. Fine. Welcome to the party, baby. Let's do it. 20 DOJ got reassignment notices. Coast Guard Commandante fired. NSC detail, National Security Council, which is like a basement room. It's supposed to be like this basement room under the White House, where you're supposed to have this very small amount of people. This is where Alexander Vindman came from. This is where the Ukraine phone call hoax came from the National Security Council. That's where it came from, the overheard phone call that Trump then had publicly transcribed, which blew up their entire argument, but they impeached him anyway because Republicans are weaklings. So anyway, so the NSA detail, do you realize this? That the NSA detail used to, when Bannon was there, they had like 25 people. It had blown up. And what the detail is for the National Security Council, pull from the CIA, they pull from the 17 intel organizations that you and I are paying for that do absolutely nothing, including the CIA, except recruit DEI recruits. They pull 160 people into that. Now, you have, first of all, you have the NSC Council itself, and then they have an extra 160 people. All the 160, fired, reassigned, bye-bye. That's what you should do. Don't let a bunch of these. Oh, that 160 was all appointed by Joe Biden. Last time Trump was in office, he left them all in place from Obama. And that's how you got the Ukraine quid pro quo phone call hoax. That's what happened. This Trump's on it this time. He is on it. It is brilliant to watch right now. DOJ is expecting mass resignations. I love it. Self-deportations. Great. They have all kinds of people self-deporting right now. The DOJ, I love it. There's supposed to be a bunch of civil service resignations. Great. We have 4 million federal employees. I hope they all resign, but we just won't replace them. Let's follow the Elon Musk model, shall we? Let's do the Elon Musk model. He gets rid of 80% of the staff of Twitter, and Twitter's better now than ever. I think we can easily get by with 500,000 federal employees, don't you think? I'm not counting the military. I'm talking about federal employees, don't you think? I think we can get by. Right now we have 4 million. I think we can get by with 500,000. Let them all resign. Let them all resign. Let all the DOJ people resign. Why are they resigning? Because they're so dismayed about Trump pardoning the 1-6 prisoners who walked through the Capitol, who had a gate open for them and they walked in, or they were on the grass outside and didn't know they were trespassing, but were charged with knowingly trespassing by Matthew Graves, U.S. attorney out of D.C. So they're expecting mass resignations out of the DOJ. Good. We have the actual self-deportations. Bureau of Prisons director fired. Keisha Bottoms from the Export Council fired. Former mayor of Atlanta. Jose Andres, Council of Sports, who took a picture with the Trump assassin down at the golf course in Florida. Took a picture with him, his arm around him. Fired. Head of TSA, fired. I don't know if this is the same person or not, but there was at least another Mark Milley, or it was the actual Mark Milley from the Infrastructure Council, fired. Brian Hook from the Wilson Center Scholars, fired. Trump's firing everybody. He's not firing them. They're firing themselves. Love it. Great job, Trump. Let's go to the World Economic Forum. Some randomness here at the beginning of the show. A little randomness. All right, Gunther Eagleman video. The WEF has admitted defeat. Play for me, Will.
Trump has done something no person in the world has ever done before. A dead politician, has risen. Somebody who, if we were 4 years ago at Davos, he's buried, dead politically, known to me. He's now returned. This is the greatest comeback in political history of a politician. And then, therefore, he thinks he can do anything.
We need to also factor in not only who's won, which is Trump, but who's lost, which is to say us. And I guess I would throw into that the epitome of the us who is losing here is Europe. That the European Union and, by and large, its member states have misread the direction where events were going.
The causes that it is interested in, climate, human rights, some others, as well as the methods of diplomacy that it prefers, are simply being gradually kind of marginalized as something new, not necessarily something better, but something new moves into the center. Mm.
So Robert W. Malone put this out on the Alex Jones show today. How do you know that, and this is my own verbiage now, I'm just using his statistics. How do you know that the WEF is much less attended this year? Because their prostitutes, the amount of prostitutes that they usually use, high dollar prostitutes, is down 60% this year in Davos, Switzerland. Usually there's tons of high dollar prostitutes being flown in to Davos. It's down 60% this year. So there's a whole lot less people there. So there's a whole lot less people. I wonder if they, instead of having 600-700 of their private jets flying into Davos to advocate for climate control, to advocate the climate hoax agenda, to advocate that you and I climate mitigate, CO2 mitigate. I wonder if there's only 200 jets this year that fly in to advocate against climate change, right? I wonder if that's the case. And they're right, they're losing it. Listen, if you actually follow the elections, whether it's Argentina with Milei has gotten rid of their national debt. The El Salvadorian president totally reversed all crime. These are not globalists. These are not leftists. They are all nationalist, populist leaders who care about their country. Nationalists, the word nationalist gets smeared and propagandized. All it means is you're putting your country first over every other country. It doesn't mean you don't care about other people. It means it's like you care about your family first. It's awfully hypocritical then to not care about your country over another country. You should absolutely care about your country first. That's what nationalist populism is. And it's all going that way. The all of these, it's hard to follow these other elections. I mean, there's a lot to be said about the downside of our two-party system in America, but the parliamentary system, I mean, it's brutal. So it's hard to follow all that. But the most popular, the party that's getting the highest percentage of votes inside of Germany now is the conservative, the actual, not like Tories. It's you have the Tories in Great Britain who are like establishment Republicans who are simply Democratic Party squishes. And then you have Nigel Farage's Reform Party, which is MAGA. Two different things. Big difference between Paul Ryan, John Kasich, and MAGA. Big difference between that. Between Mittens Romney, Willard Romney, and MAGA. Tories is Mittens Romney. So you guys have to win. And all the Tories of the world, the establishment Republicans in America, are simply, again, leftists that have an R in front of their name. And they really are leftists. They really are. John Thune, the head of the Senate right now, Senate Majority Leader, votes with Nancy Pelosi at least 50% of the time. It votes with Chuck Schumer at least 50% of the time. So can we trust Johnny Thune? Absolutely not. And they're already delaying confirmation hearings. Adam Schiff has already delayed Pam Bondi's confirmation hearing by 7 days because he humiliated him publicly, because she humiliated him publicly. So Germany's the party that's getting the highest percentage of votes in the parliamentary system is their actual conservative party. And they see it in Davos. They see it. And because you know what, folks, we not only nationally are winning, we are internationally winning. Our movement is taking over the globe right now, and it's a great thing, and we need to enjoy it. But know that in the death throes of politics, it is actual death throes. They're going to be throwing and flailing, coming out against Pete Hegseth with his former sister-in-law's false accusations, as always, every day. And we're hearing it all about the 1-6 stuff right now, which we'll get into in a minute. All right, so Chief Nerd Video, Oracle's Larry Ellison. Now, it was part of the, what's the OpenAI guy, Aaron, that you can't stand?
Sam Altman.
Sam Altman and the other guy's Asian.
Masa.
Yeah, I can't pronounce his name.
You can just call him Masa.
Yeah, he's from SoftBank.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you have Oracle's Larry Ellison, then you have OpenAI, and then you have SoftBank, OpenAI, and Oracle. So those are the three institutions and leaders, one of them being Larry Ellison. They have Sam Altman putting together this open AI massive server farm building down in Texas. Okay, we have all that going on. So we need to know about these guys. And what does Sam Altman believe? We know that Elon Musk hates them. Elon Musk hates Sam Altman. Okay, that's strike one. Because if you kind of look into what their previous dealings were, it looks like Sam Altman ripped them off. Yeah. Okay, and there's a deeper story to it that I don't have time to get into. But then you have Larry Ellison. Let's deep dive into Larry Ellison. Since these guys are going to be the ones that are getting us ahead, are getting us ahead of the game in AI, in our building, it's not, Aaron, what's a better word than server farm?
It technically is.
But what you had a better word for it yesterday. But
I'll think of it.
But anyway, yeah. It just, they're allegedly going to make us the state of the art in AI. And already... Larry Ellison was talking about mRNA yesterday to cure cancer, to cure the cancer that mRNA has already caused. It's just like Pfizer. They inject 5 billion people around the globe with their mRNA technology, which, of course, the developer of mRNA technology, Robert W. Malone, said, don't do that and don't take the vax. Data center. Thank you, Aaron. Their data center down in Texas. So, and then Pfizer, after they cause millions of people to have heart inflammation, myocarditis, pericarditis, then they buy a heart pill factory to treat myocarditis and pericarditis. Kind of odd, isn't it? So now suddenly all of these people, and you know all these people, you know Larry Ellison, you know Sam Altman, you know they were all vaccine whores. You know they were.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, do you know that definitively? No, I'm just saying you know they were. You know they're in favor of taking everybody off social media who is against the vaccines. So now they suddenly want to cure the cancer that was caused by mRNA vaccinations using mRNA technology. That's strange, isn't it? Because I also heard the same from Pfizer and Moderna, too, that they wanted to suddenly cure cancer. And it was funny today. I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but Scott Gottlieb on the board of Pfizer, who pimped and hoard vaccinations, pimped and hoard masking, pimped and hoard the 6 foot rule, who is on Trump's COVID response task force under Mikey Judas Pence. He was on one of the talking head shows and was just simply asked, can you address why it is that we have this huge spike in turbo cancers? And that's the only one they brought up. And even he was confounded. He's a stupid idiot. I'm not kidding, Tom. How can you say that? Listen, some people are smart. All right. There are smart people that are our adversaries. Scott Gottlieb's an idiot. It's like Kamala Harris. She's not smart. Nancy Pelosi is actually smart. She is evil and nasty, but she's smart. She is a smart human being. But you might be thinking, well, she's gotten old and slow. It doesn't matter. She's still smart. All right. Kamala Harris is an idiot. Scott Gottlieb can barely talk. He's an idiot. He really is. He's an idiot. He's one of those doctors that never treats patients. He's just endlessly on advisory boards, which he is on Pfizer's, of course. And he's having to acknowledge because, you know, and Joe Rogan put this on his show. How is it that everybody's ignoring that we basically have a 40% increase in excess deaths? 40% more people are dying than normal. 40% more. Yet, just to make it real simplistic, 100 people die, 100,000 people die in 2020 or in 2021. And then the next year, 140,000 die, a 40% increase. And it's not even reported in the media. It's kind of strange, isn't it? But anyway, so we just need to know these guys who want to cure the cancer they caused with mRNA. I'd like to know what their background is and what their philosophies are in life. Chief Nerd Video, Oracle's Larry Ellison says, citizens will be on their best behavior with AI surveillance system. And this is the guy who's data center?
Yeah.
He's going to build the data center for AI. And he says he advocates for citizens being on their best behavior because of AI. This isn't good. Trump needs to see it. Play for me, Will.
The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have cameras on them. We have a squad car here someplace. But those kind of applications using AI, we can use AI, and we're using AI to monitor the video. So if that altercation had occurred, that occurred in Memphis, the chief of police would be immediately notified. It's not people that are looking at those cameras. It's AI that's looking at the cameras. No. You can't do this. It would be like a shooting. That's going to be an event that's immediately, an alarm's going to go off. It's going to be, and we're going to have supervision. In other words, every police officer is going to be supervised at all times. And the supervision will, and if there's a problem, AI will report the problem and report it to the appropriate person, whether it's the sheriff or the chief or whomever we need to take control of the situation. We have, same thing. We have drones. We just, if there's something going on in a shopping center, and I'll stop. A drone goes out there. I get there way faster than a police car. There's no reason for, by the way, high speed chases. You shouldn't have high speed chases between cars. You just have a drone follow the car. I mean, it's very, very simple. And the new generation of autonomous drones.
Oh, really? If you didn't have a drone follow an active shooter? These people are so freaking stupid. It's just amazing. All of them, I'm assuming everybody in this room, and Larry Ellison, we were forced to read 1984 at some point, George Orwell's 1984, at some point in your life. And so you know what it's all about, and you know that it's an evil thing to have mass supervision, mass surveillance all the time. I mean, look, you just break down the word supervision, supervision. So you're always being watched. That is not the way to do things. I'm in favor of body cams for cops because they exonerate cops. But do we want every aspect of our life supervised by AI where, quote from Larry Ellison, AI will report the appropriate person? So then who's in charge of the AI? And by the way, it's already been proven that AI can be manipulated and AI can be changed and videos can be changed from AI. We're already seeing all the edited videos whether funny or not, or edited videos, or videos where they can actually, you know, the videos where your voice can already be complete duplicated to perfection.
Yeah,
it's not long until you can be duplicated to perfection on video. Also, they can do your voice. Eventually, they're gonna be able to do your voice. They grab all these videos of us, and most everybody has checked for Apple or for whatever the Twitter. I don't want to pick on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, to have access to your photos.
Yeah,
and most everybody has done their identifications on their phone using facial recognition. As if nobody reads these, nobody ever reads these novels, and nobody can see this coming. And sadly, nobody reads their Bible. Revelation chapter 13, 16, and 17, which you hear all the time. Revelation 14, 9 through 16, nobody reads it. And that's all about you being leveraged into a one world commerce system with a singular access point to all world commerce controlled by people like Larry Ellison, and now Trump's partnering with him. You're like, Tom, don't attack Trump. I'll say whatever I want to say. If I lose viewers, I lose viewers. I already started to lose viewers right now. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I get it. Everyone wants pro-Trump, pro-Trump, pro-Trump. Okay? Now, you didn't hear me say that Trump's not going to do well with it. I'm just saying that I wouldn't partner with a guy who makes a statement of citizens will be on their best behavior with an AI surveillance system. I don't think you should partner with somebody like that. I didn't say Trump could have them build their data center and then fire everybody and then use it for himself. You know, use it for the benefit of the United States of America. That may be what he has in store for Sam Altman and Larry Ellison. It might be, but we will see. And we need to monitor it. Because with the very technology that Larry Ellison is talking about is already fully installed in the largest country on the planet with almost 2 billion people living in it. Does everybody realize it's 2 billion? I know it's over 1 billion. Or is it 1.2 billion? It's 1.2 billion, I think, live in China. You realize how small we are in comparison to China? I mean, everyone realizes that a billion is a 1,000 millions, and we in America are estimated at 350 million people, and they have a billion. 1.4 billion, Aaron just let me know. Yeah. It's almost a 1.5 billion people.
Yeah.
So you just have to think about how large they are. And this is already, Larry Ellison's system is already fully implemented in China. Song Ping video seems off. I can't even read it because they gummed up the language. But China, here's China's social credit system. Play it for me.
The system's eyes are in big data, artificial intelligence, and roughly 200 million surveillance cameras. And that's totally fine with Ouyang Haoyu. She's 21, graduated from a good school with solid grades. She's diligent. She's nice. No surprise, she's a 752. That's her rating with Sesame Credit, a private company working with the government on the algorithms for the social credit system. The scores go from 350 to 950 and are based on habits and behavior. Buy clothes or diapers, it's good. A lot of alcohol, too many video games, not so good. Haoyu's 752 puts her in model citizen range and gets her discounts and privileges, like using a shared bike without a deposit. She likes it. Her friends do too. They all have pretty high scores.
Is a mechanism like pushes you to become a better citizen, to build on the trust, especially on the Chinese market?
Because you're not going to be punished if you haven't done anything wrong.
I think that's the point. I think the system is working as a warning or an alert to push people to do it, to be a good person.
And it's mandatory. When it goes national, social credit scores will be assigned to every one of China's citizens for life. And what's weird.
And it's mandatory, and everybody will receive a social credit score, will be part of the social credit score system. Get that now? Important two words, for life. We really want to be building this data center down in Texas? We sure we want to be doing that? I know that's not what Trump wants, but Trump didn't want vaccine mandates either, but he's the one who ushered in Operation Warp Speed.
Yep.
But he said the whole time that he was never going to mandate, and he never would have. I love Trump. Voted for Trump three times now. He's won three elections. I'm just saying we need to keep a very close eye on this because in China they have 200 million cameras. 200 million cameras. Everybody has a social credit score. If you buy what, you know, now who is it? Will was talking about this during the video. Who is it that determines good and bad? Because she may love it now, but wait, what happens if somebody who she doesn't agree with what's good and she doesn't agree with what's bad is controlling the system? Where suddenly the things that she thinks are bad are considered good and the things that she considers good are now bad, because that will flip with the here in America with whether the Republicans are in charge or the Democrats in charge, right? Oh, she's just all happy with it. She has a great score. She's got her 752 score. But if the wrong person gets in there, you get to say you have a 752 score in America because the Democrats are in charge, and I have a 300, and I have a minus 42 score because I have guns. So I'm the bottom of the barrel. I don't get any discounts. I'm not allowed to buy this, and I'm not allowed to buy that, right? But then when the Republicans come in, the girl with the 750 becomes the minus 42, and I get the 750. We really want a system like that where you have some overseer determining what is good and what is bad, what is hate speech, what's not hate speech, what's good speech, what's bad speech. Because all that's being monitored there too. There are social activities being monitored. You buy too much alcohol, you cross the street, you violate the crosswalk, whatever it may be, you jaywalk, you lose social credit system. And Xi Jinping just to decide what's good and what's bad. What if you voted incorrectly? What if you don't like Xi Jinping? I imagine you'd lose some social credit system. So the people in charge of the system game the system to benefit themselves. That's what always happens. How do people not see this coming? How do they? Larry Ellison may like it now. Altman may like it now. But what happens when it's somebody that they don't like is now the arbiter of truth, is now the arbiter of good, bad, and hate, and turns it on them? And they just have all of their money erased. I say they put me in charge of it. And I go, you know, I don't like Larry Ellison. I'm just going to erase all the CBDC currency right now because that's all there is. Well, I'm going to hoard gold. That doesn't matter under a system like that. You can hoard all the gold you want. It's been eliminated as currency. It's now AI currency. It's now CBDC currency. You don't buy right. You don't act right. They just liquidate your account for you. How do you like that? We need to be watching this thing. We need to be watching it closely. All right, Numbers USA video at Rep. Grothman explains how the 14th Amendment birthright citizenship was never intended to grant birthright citizenship. How could that be, Tom? Watch this. Play for me.
I want to point out that in the 14th Amendment, it does not say all persons born in the United States become citizens of the United States. It's all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That amendment was passed coming out of the Civil War. There's a reason it was passed coming out of the Civil War. Congress was afraid that the Democrats would try to undermine the results of that war by forbidding former slaves from voting. And clearly that's what the amendment was supposed to deal with. It did not include anybody who just happened to show up here and have a baby and moved on. Any congressman at that time, as can be seen from the debate on the floor at that time, no congressman felt that resulted in what we are now referring to as birthright citizenship. It was supposed to be limited to slaves. You were only subject to the jurisdiction thereof if you were a former slave. A person who came here from France and was just passing through, their child would not become a citizen. That should be obvious.
As always, life is very simple. It's just a matter of whether or not you will abide by its simplicity. Some people won't abide by its simplicity because it's inconvenient for them. I want to be a male, but you were born a female. Well, I still want to be a male. Sorry, life is simple. You're a girl. And vice versa. Life is simple. It really is. I want to be homosexual. Okay, that doesn't work. Life is simple. Homosexuality doesn't work. So life is easy. It really is. It's quite simple. And this is one of those very simplistic things in the 14th Amendment. Again, it does not, quoting from Rep. Grothman, it does not say all persons born in the United States become citizens. Isn't that what we've all been taught? Isn't that what we've all been taught? I thought that's what it was. Is that what it is? No. So when you find out you're wrong, what do? You simply say, I was wrong. Okay, so that's what we do. I was wrong. So it's very, the example that Grothman gave was absolutely perfect. If you come in here and you are from France and you're on a tourist visa, those are the ones who just arrested four Chileans for robbing Joe Burrow's home, quarterback for Cincinnati Bengals, just four illegals. They were here on tourist visas, all illegal. But anyway, overstayed their visa, and they're illegals. But anyway, that's just a side note. So anyway, if you come in as, you know, a tourist from France, you're not subject to our jurisdiction. You're subject to the laws of France. That's the way that it is. You don't have First Amendment rights. You don't have a Second Amendment right. You can't go buy a gun. You're not subject. You have to be subject to our jurisdiction. All we do if you committed some minor crime is to send you back to your country. You're not subject to our jurisdiction. They could run to their embassy and be like, no, I'm a citizen of France. I don't have to abide by the laws in America to some degree. Now, of course, they could still be arrested depending on what they're arrested for. Now they'd be tried and various things like that. But even with that, they're not subject to us. They're subject to their home country. So people who come into America who are illegal aliens, have sex, get pregnant on purpose, and have a baby, and all the Democrats say birthright citizenship. No, they're not. They're not, because those people who came in and created that child are not subject to the jurisdiction of this country. Therefore, either is their child. If you come into this country as a Canadian and you're pregnant and you end up, your due date was a month away, but you came here to go see whatever, and you end up having your baby, you're not subject to the jurisdiction of America. You're subject to the jurisdiction of Canada. Life is simple. So every birthright citizenship that's been granted to babies that were had under the scenarios that I just illustrated are not valid citizenships, just so you know, under our own Constitution, because those babies are from parents who are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Now, when you start with an illegal having a baby with a United States citizen, that's different. But all these women that are crossing into the United States pregnant, you know, making sure they're right on the cusp of having their child, so they get across the border, have the baby, and then suddenly their baby now is a citizen of the United States, that's incorrect. Incorrect. Not unless she was a citizen of the United States at the moment of birth, a naturalized citizen, or went through the immigration process and became a citizen of the United States of America. That's it. Simple as that. It really is. All right, Kyle Becker video. This is a game changer. A little bit here from Border Czar Tom Holman. Play it for me.
Absolutely. Look, the greatest president in my lifetime, he's back. Because in 2 days, the last 24 hours, total apprehensions on the southwest border, 766. Compare that to the 10 to 12,000 Biden had at one time. CBP, CBP1 releases, zero. CHNV, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela releases, zero. Total of 766 across the entire southwest border. That is a game changer.
Total of 766 people have crossed the southern border since they took office. Joe Biden was 15,000 a day, 766. They've illegally crossed, that they snuck past Border Patrol. So just Tom Holman reports, just in case you missed the number, reports there are now zero CBP app releases, zero, from thousands a day to zero. Total apprehensions at the southern border have dropped to 766 total. This is compared to 10 to 12,000 per day under Biden. It was actually a little higher than that. All right, go to the next one for me. Vince Langman video. Just a funny little video here about what's going on at the White House. Play for me.
The White House government website, the Spanish version, cannot be found anymore. And in this little box that takes you to the homepage, the words that they chose to use are go home.
So I love it. This has all been done in 2.5 days. 2.5 days. So if you go to the Spanish version of the White House website, it's no longer functional. If you try to click on it, it says go home. It's exactly what this is, how you play the game. That's awfully cruel. You know what? Has Trump been treated awfully cruel? They need to reap what they've sown. All right, the Blaze video. This is long. It's either the second longest or the longest video I've ever showed on the podcast. Probably 13 minutes long, something like that. But with all, I'm going to do my J6 thing before we go here. It's kind of long, but anyway, I don't know. It's 9:59. I can't believe it's already 9:59. But anyway, I got to do this before we go, because with Trump releasing all the J6 defendants, as he should have, Tom, even the ones that battered a law enforcement officer. Okay, most of the time, have I ever been battered as a law enforcement officer? Nobody ever got a year for doing it. Nobody ever got a month for doing it. Okay, maybe a month. I don't know. But I don't want to be hyperbolic. But nobody ever got a year for it. And these people have been languishing in prison. It is now 2025 for 4 years. If they so much as touched a shield, that was held by a police officer. Okay, come on. It's over. Enrique Terrio, who never was even in D.C., was languishing in prison for 22 years for seditious conspiracy, where there was no sedition and there was no conspiracy. So he's doing exactly what he needs to do. He said he was going to do it. He's doing it. And there's a few that he hasn't done, just a few that they're reviewing that are probably the most violent of most violent people. But I'm not going to go over that. And I could show you endless reports. Why haven't these people been released yet? Why haven't these people? Of course, it's being slow walked by, you know, deep state establishment personnel inside the U.S. Marshals. It's being slow walked. We got it. And of course, Muriel Bowser, the D.C. gulag commandant. That's the mayor of D.C. They're slow walking it the best that they can. I could go over that, but I'd rather talk about how we're going to refute this, because they're going to say, and we're going to hear it over now, since all these J6 hostages are being released, J6 political prisoners have been released out of the D.C. gulag. We're going to need to defend our stance on 1-6. What's our stance on 1-6? It was not an insurrection. It was a 2.5-hour protest that in some ways turned violent. Now, I want to put this out there. Understand something here from a law enforcement perspective. Because there was an interview today, Bannon was playing it. And it was a J6er, a woman had been released from prison, and she admits, I broke a window in the Capitol. Now, should she have been arrested for that? Yes. You should be arrested for breaking a window in the Capitol. There's part of this video, I don't know if it's this video or the one we weren't able to upload, but there's a video where it shows J6 people broke Nancy Pelosi's sign that was mounted on the wall, and we're holding it. You should be arrested for that. That's vandalism. I'm sorry. You broke windows, okay? But what are these charges? They're misdemeanor vandalism charges, misdemeanor trespassing charges, misdemeanor parading through the Capitol charges that were then enhanced up to Enron 1512 statute for obstruction of justice at minimum, and then give it, and then you'd have that felony and then all of your misdemeanors, and that's how they got people in prison. And then you had people like Gunnell and Dunn and Fanon perjure themselves to get sentenced and perjure themselves saying that they were injured when they weren't, so that they could get sentence enhancements on J6 defendants. Because if you did break a window, but the cop says that you pushed by me and I bumped my head and got a bump on the back of my head, that's a felony when you went to go break the window. So Fanon and Gunnell and Dunn were making up all these lies so they could get sentence enhancements on these J6 defendants based on their quote unquote injuries that have never been documented and never have been seen. So that's our attack. I'm going to attack these J6 heroes. And we're going to start with Harry Dunn. The Blaze video, new J6 investigation. Former Capitol Police officer Harry Dunn. And by the way, the man that you see speaking right at the beginning was arrested by the FBI. For what? He was standing there on J6, the man who made this video for the Blaze. Harry Dunn continues to make national headlines because Dunn has come out and said what an atrocity it is that the J6 hostages have been released. Fanon's hiding in some North Carolina cabin somewhere. Gunnell has come out and gotten multiple apologies. The DOJ has sent all these apologies to Gunnell. So sorry this has happened. What did Gunnell do? Well, let's look at what these guys actually did, shall we? Let's look at what these guys actually did. So here's the Blaze video. Harry Dunn continues to make national headlines while Congress and the DOJ ignore questions regarding the accuracy of his story. Long video. Stick with me. Play it for me, Will.
So with the Capitol CCTV footage, we tracked where Dunn was every moment of January 6th. And it tells a different story than the one he's told in his own book. His congressional testimony, his two FBI testimonies, and his testimony under oath during the Oath Keepers trial.
I'm not one to speculate, so I like to stick to facts.
Let's revisit January 6th using Capitol CCTV footage and see what Harry Dunn really did. This is a day in the life of Harry Dunn. Let me just read something from the book here. He says, that day we met in a large auditorium. It's the same auditorium tourists sit in when they begin their tours of the Capitol. There's a huge movie screen at the front of the room, and visitors see a film about our nation's founding before they are taken on the rest of the tour. We went over logistics, who the overall commander would be, who the field lieutenants would be, and who would be responsible for possible arrests. They told us how many platoons of the Civil Disturbance Unit would be activated.
And please welcome to the stage four of these heroes, Private First Class Harry Dunn.
So it's important to understand that at the very beginning of his day, something doesn't quite add up. He says that he arrived around 6:45 in the morning, that this roll call briefing started somewhere in the 7 to 7:30 range. And the problem with that is that after interviewing multiple Capitol Police officers, including those in what are called the First Responders Unit, that would be Harry Dunn's unit, we couldn't find anybody that recalled a roll call briefing of that nature. So obviously when we got access to the Capitol CCTV, it was one of the first things we went to look for was what time they met in that auditorium. We watched from 6:30 to 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock to 9:15, and after, no one ever came into that room. Even though he was very specific in detail about it being that very auditorium, there are two smaller auditoriums. There's no cameras inside those, but there are cameras in the hallways outside. So we watched those cameras for hours. We scanned through those forwards, backwards, around, and we didn't see a single law enforcement officer in that area until sometime after 9 o'clock. When one opens their own narrative with so much detail about the time, the location, the content of the meeting that never happened, well then, everything else that he says about January 6th must be called into question.
When Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn went to work on the morning of January 6th, it felt like a normal day.
I reported for duty at the Capitol as usual, early on the morning of January 6th.
I arrived at the Capitol at my normal time, 6:45 a.m., maybe 6:50 a.m. I picked out my riot helmet and I assumed my post on the east side of the Capitol at about 9:30 a.m. From where I stood, I looked directly at the U.S. Supreme Court building and just to the right of the Library of Congress. From the details of Harry's description, we knew exactly when and where to begin looking for him on Capitol CCTV. We first picked up Harry on camera at 10:53 a.m., not on post, but inside a Capitol hallway, where he is seen chatting with a fellow officer for about 10 minutes. Most interestingly, he seems to have just arrived. He is carrying neither his M4 rifle, not his newly acquired helmet as described earlier in the book, nor any of the other of his protective gear. He is still carrying his personal backpack.
I reported for duty at the Capitol as usual, early on the morning of January 6th.
Harry then begins a leisurely stroll toward the lower levels of the Capitol building, toward the sub-basement where the police locker room is. On his way, he even stops at the now infamous Northwest Senate wing door area. That's where the first breach of the Capitol building later occurred. Here, he stops and spends several minutes scrolling through his phone. Kind of just, you know, casually wandering into the building at 10:53 and having a casual chat with another officer for about 7 minutes, and then casually strolling through the building and working his way down, finally, to the lower level to acquire his gear that he needed for the day.
Remember, Harry specifically claimed to be at his assigned post on the Capitol's northeast stairs at 9:30 a.m. and fully geared up. But from the best available of those CCTV cameras on the northeast side, we can see Harry did not take his post until 12:19 p.m., more than 2.5 hours after he claimed. Radio calls were heard on the Capitol Police radio for additional officers to respond to the west side of the Capitol, and he heard the call, "Breached the fence."
A desperate voice that demonstrators on the west side had breached the fence.
This occurred at exactly 12:53 p.m. when Harry would have heard this over his radio.
Priority. We just had protests. Feet circle, breach the line. We need backup.
All units available, respond to the west front of the Capitol. All units available, respond to the west front of the Capitol.
This is where the narrative takes over.
Now it was obvious that there was a direct threat to the Capitol. I quickly put on a steel chest plate, which weighs approximately 20 pounds, and carrying my M4 rifle, sprinted around the north side of the Capitol to the west terrace.
No, he didn't. Harry did not immediately respond to the orders coming over his police radio, calling for immediate reinforcements on the west side.
All units available, respond to the west front of the Capitol. All units available, respond to the west front of the Capitol to assist with breaches, multiple breaches all along the line.
While he can clearly be seen listening to the escalating panic on the radio coming from other officers already involved in the fight on the west side and from commanders barking orders,
"We need everything we got on the west side,"
Harry continues to pace around on the east steps for fully another 30 minutes.
Carrying my M4 rifle, sprinted around the north side of the Capitol to the west terrace.
Sprinted around the Sprinted around.
By the time Harry arrived at a rather leisurely pace, he says in his book and in other testimonies that he sprinted around the Capitol when he first heard the radios go off calling for reinforcements on the west side. Well, we know that he didn't leave for quite some time after that, and that when he did, he casually walked around, took about a 5-minute journey before he arrived on the Upper West Terrace. And when he got there, he was only there for less than 30 minutes before he was called inside.
405, anyone on the lower terrace with an M4, I need you to pull back.
A call went out. It was an order, actually, from Lieutenant Tarik Johnson.
"We're not going to use lethal force. We can't risk them taking the M4 from us."
That he wanted all of what he called the M4 units to come in. And this order specifically was given to the officers like Harry Dunn who were carrying the automatic rifles, because Lieutenant Johnson, he wanted to get those rifles inside so that they couldn't be taken.
"We're taking out one, and 10 of them are getting way in here."
The next thing that Harry said is that he went first to the basement on the Senate side of the building because he had heard that a D.C. police officer needed a defibrillator. After helping, he said, "I ran back to the West Terrace to help other officers there. With people running around the Capitol, I knew I had to get back inside."
"These guys are the true heroes. They stood and put their lives on the line for these low lives, for Trump."
The problem with that is we can't find that he ever did that either.
Officer Harry Dunn's memory of the day's horror hasn't faded.
Here, once Dunn retreats into the Capitol, he never went to the basement on the Senate side. He never went back out to the West Terrace to help officers. He stays inside at this point. He says he knew he had to get back inside because there were people running around the Capitol. Actually, at that point, there weren't people inside the Capitol yet. There had not been a breach. That happened some minutes later at about 2:13, 2:14. What really happened is that once he retreats into the Capitol, he stays on the lower west side of the West Terrace door, just basically hiding inside. And then for about 40 minutes, he kind of acted like a doorman. He did some pacing around. He was talking on his radio. He would step out of camera frame for a few seconds and come back on occasion, step out again. So he obviously wasn't going far. He was certainly not rushing over to the Senate side of the building, or he wasn't going into the basement, because that would have meant he had to be out of camera frame for much longer than he ever was, because sometimes it was just only for a few seconds. But then for that next 40 minutes or so, we see him just in that entrance area, just standing and holding the door open for other officers. Now, from the CCTV cameras in the crypt, and that's a large area right below the big rotunda upstairs. And in this particular room, there's three cameras, and we can see from one of those cameras that Harry Dunn is standing at the top of the steps that leads down to that Lower West Terrace. In all of his accountings, he says that he was standing there because he was guarding that to keep protesters from coming down to where other officers were receiving first aid and being decontaminated.
I decided to stand my ground there to prevent any rioters from heading down the stairs to the Lower West Terrace entrance, because that's where officers were getting decontamination aid.
So that was basically his claim, is that he was standing post there. And he stood there for quite some time, by my estimation, somewhere between 14, maybe as much as 18 minutes in that stairway. Now, you'll remember, I think it was in part two, when we showed that Harry Dunn would lose it on occasion. And this was one of those examples from Metropolitan Police body cameras. We were able to see Harry lose it. He starts shouting across the crypt. He's cussing. He's warning protesters, people that aren't doing anything violent. There's only a very small handful of protesters in the room at that time. And then, of course, that was when Captain Ben Smith had to run over to him and tap him on the shoulders. Calm down, Harry. Calm down, Harry. Within a minute or two of that particular incident, Dunn just bolts. Now, he says that he heard over the radio that there were shots fired in the House chamber.
We got shots fired in the lobby of the House chamber.
Of course, that was true at about 2:43.
14:43 hours.
That's when he just broke in a dead run and ran through to what they call the memorial door camera. And that's where we pick him up at the bottom of the stairway, and where he drops his rifle's magazine and bounces off the floor. As soon as he races to the top of that stairway, that is, in fact, the moment where Harry Dunn's encounter with the Oath Keepers began.
That's good. All right, there is a part two, and that's his confrontation with the Oath Keepers. Now, this man, before I read this to you so everybody gets this man, via his testimony, the testimony of this man, who is a pathological liar, wrote a book of pathological lies, has sent people to prison based on his lies, including members of the Oath Keepers, who defended him that day. And that's part two of this video series. We were unable to get it to where we could use it. So maybe we'll buy it or something so we can get it. But anyway, so the Oath Keepers actually did. There's video footage of the Oath Keepers defending him, and then he says they never did. But I don't have time to get into that right now. Let's cover what we have. So he says that he arrived at work at 6:45. There's absolutely zero evidence of him ever being a member. Every last square inch of this building is under video surveillance. So he says that he arrived at 6:45. He actually arrived at 10:53 a.m. Over four hours later than he said. And that man's testimony put people in prison. He said that he attended a roll call briefing, a very specific briefing about who's going to arrest who, how they're going to handle arrests, how the protests are going to be handled, the statistic, the tactics, and everything else. Roll call briefing at 7:30, and the video camera showed there was never a roll call briefing in a very specific room. And they not only checked that room, they checked the only other possibility that could have been used for the briefing. That briefing never occurred. This man's testimony has sent people to prison. The briefing never occurred, and he didn't show up at work at 6:45. He showed up at work at 10:53. Then he said, after he arrives at 6:45, he ends up with, so I'm just wondering, how do you arrive at 6:45, go to a briefing at 7:30, not on your, and then not be on your post till 9:30? What do you do for 4 hours? But anyway, of course, that doesn't make any sense. So he says he arrives at 6:45. That never happened. He says he was at roll call at 7:30 for a very specific briefing about J6. That never happened. All video evidence has proved that he's a bold-faced pathological liar. Then the video camera shows that he actually arrived at 10:53, but he said that he arrived at 6:45, went to briefing at 7:30, was on his post at 9:30. But he didn't even arrive at the building until 10:53. And the video camera shows that he actually took his post, not at 9:30, but at 12:19, 3 hours later. This man's testimony has put people in federal prison. This is what we need to attack, because everything they say that happened didn't. It was a Fed surrection. Harry Dunn had two different 302s, witness statements to the FBI. First one, he said the Oath Keepers helped him. Second one, he said the Oath Keepers didn't help him. And that's allowed in court. I wonder if the Oath Keepers' defense attorneys were allowed to see 302-1. I wonder if they were allowed to see the first edition of the 302 witness statement. Probably not, because it's a threat to national security. So then 12:53, the radio call, because Harry had been standing on post at that point now for about 30 minutes. Says he's been there for three and a half hours. But no, he'd been there for 30 minutes. So those are the lies. And the radio comes out that there was a breach in the fence. Harry says the following. I put on, when they had the breach in the fence, they had a breach on the West Terrace, right? At 12:53, which was, by the way, backed up by radio evidence. All police radio communications are recorded. Of course, Capitol Hills was also. So that is verified that Harry was right. A radio call did come out that there was a breach in the fence. I wonder if they opened the fence or there was a breach in the fence, but that's yet to be determined. But anyway, and Harry says that at that moment, imagine how stupid you are. This idiot works at that building for 10, 12, 15 years, and he knows every one of his movements is recorded on videotape. There's a video camera recording everything that he does. And he says that he immediately put on a steel chest plate weighing 20 pounds. Oh, he's such a hero. He said, you're 350 pounds. Another 20 pounds ain't going to hurt you. And, quote, carrying my rifle, I sprinted around the north side of the Capitol to the West Terrace. No, he didn't. He didn't even leave his post for another 30 minutes after the radio call, and he never sprinted one time. Never. This man's testimony has landed people in federal prison. And by the way, he also said that he was in all these fights with people. Did anybody ever see a fight at all?
No.
Any fight at all? Where he was assaulted and called the N-word? No, I haven't seen any of that either. This man's testimony put people in federal prison. Then Harry says he went to the basement of this. This is very specific testimony. I sprinted. I put on a 20-pound vest. I went. As soon as that radio call came out, I sprinted to the West Terrace. No, you didn't even leave. Your fat butt didn't. Harry doesn't know how to sprint. He waddles. So he didn't even waddle away until 30 minutes later, and he never went to the West Terrace. Not only did he not sprint there, he didn't waddle there. Not only did he not immediately sprint there, he waddled there 30 minutes later. And then he finally arrived at the West Terrace and stood there for 30 minutes and did nothing. By the way, he was never touched there either. How was he brutally assaulted? How has he got PTSD? I'm not saying he's never said that. I'm just, that's what they all claim. Then Harry says, after the infamous 12:53 radio call that he didn't respond to, until 30 minutes later, and he waddled out to the West Terrace and did nothing. He went to the basement of the Senate, on the Senate side, because an officer needed a defibrillator. Aaron, you may help me out with this, maybe. Mm-hmm. Why would he respond if somebody needed a defibrillator? Did he have one on him?
No. Nope.
See, Mr. Defibrillator Unit? I mean, he didn't have one. And in his testimony and in his book, he says, after helping, I ran back to the West Terrace. How do you help with a defibrillator? After helping, wouldn't you say, I applied the electrodes, I resuscitated my fellow officer, No, he just says after helping. Very general. And by the way, so he said that. So after helping, I ran back to the terrace. Okay, does anybody believe that he ran back? So again, just to reiterate, he says that he went to the Senate side because to the Senate, he went to the basement on the Senate side because an officer needed a defibrillator. After helping, I ran back to the West Terrace. What does the video cameras tell us? He never went to the basement. He never went back to the West Terrace. So the whole defibrillator story is a bold-faced, pathological freaking lie. And that man's testimony sent people to federal prison. All he actually did was stand inside and do nothing. And at this point, he has not been in one fight yet. That's it. That's him. This is how we attack their 1-6 narrative. Because it's all on videotape. And now we have the tapes. We have them. And now we will do... Just go to this next one for me real quick. I'll do this in 1 minute and we'll all get out of here. You know, just unit side by side. Just side by side. This year is Aquilino Gunnell. That's him right there. Circled. And how long is this video, Will?
7 minutes.
All right, just run the first 30 seconds over and over again. Just back, just 30, 40 seconds and back to the front. 30, 40, 40 seconds. That's Roseanne Borland, who they beat to death on the cart right there, just so everybody knows. Which we played. They beat her to death with a Aspaton after she was already unconscious. Just a little side note for these heroes of J6. So that's Aquilino Gunnell. And Julie Kelly writes, Capitol Hill police officer Gunnell has lied about his injuries he sustained on January 6th, sending people to federal prison. You wonder why these guys, so many of them committed suicide after this? Is that because they lied under oath also and sent people to federal prison? None of them got killed. Here, look how healthy he is, man. Look how healthy that guy is. Looks healthy, doesn't he, Aaron?
Yeah.
What do you think, Will? Look healthy. Looks healthy.
Looks fine.
Getting testimony from other people here, opinions from others. He has testified under oath and in federal court proceedings that he suffered near-death injuries. This is after the near-death injuries. There is the near... That guy's walking awfully well after he being nearly dead. Nearly dead. This guy's nearly dead. Aaron, does that seem nearly dead to you?
No.
Again, I just want somebody else's opinion.
It looks healthy.
Okay, thank you. Good, thank you.
Yeah,
Will, you can chime in too. Does that guy look nearly dead to you? Okay, just checking. New J6 video contradicts Gunnell's claims that protesters, now let's look at them all together here, inflicted head injuries.
Nope.
No. Shoulder injuries?
No.
Don't see any.
Hand injuries?
No.
I don't see any blood pouring off them. Will's been in combat. You know, if you get injuries... you're going to have some blood coming. I don't see him doing anything except watch them try to resuscitate the person that they beat to death, Roseanne Borland. But anyway, foot injuries so egregious. Look at him. So egregious that he required surgery and medical leave. Wow, he's walking around awfully good here, isn't he? Not to mention his mental health trauma from doing absolutely nothing all day. In a victim impact statement, is so that he can get a sentence enhanced on a J6 defendant. In other words, add time to their sentence. In a victim impact statement made in court in May of that year, Gunnell told the judge that he was bleeding from both hands. Aaron?
Nope.
I don't want to just have one person's opinions. I don't see any blood.
No, you'd see anywhere. It on the ground.
You'd see something, right? Yeah. Bleeding from the hand.
Yeah.
Had a maimed foot.
No.
Nope. Hit on the head. Nope.
No.
Sprayed, he's taken off his helmet there and already carried it. Sprayed with pepper spray and bear spray. He doesn't look like somebody impacted by pepper spray.
And it's not even covered in spray. It would be like orange.
Well, that's good. He's got a gas mask on, so it really wouldn't have mattered if you were pepper sprayed.
His hand's got to work well because he's putting it back in the pouch on his right leg.
There he goes. Okay, so again, this guy's testimony put people in federal prison, and he's a freaking liar.
Yeah.
Remember the name, Aquilino Gunnell. These heroes, that was one of the four heroes brought on the CNN stage by Anderson Cooper. Here's our four heroes. What a hero. Says he was beaten, bear sprayed, pepper sprayed, punched, pushed, pulled. What does that mean? And assaulted by many other rioters as they try to gain entrance. Here he is for several minutes near the body of Roseanne Borland at 4:50 on January 6th after the protest and violence ended. It was already over. I don't see any injuries on the man whatsoever. His hands show no sign of injury. Nor does his shoulder as he takes off his gear. His feet seem fine. He is seen kicking items out of the area. And his head, now this 7-minute video, I'm just having Will run the first 40 seconds over and over again, which have been, and his head, which had been protected by a riot helmet, shows no sign of injury either. Not only did Gunnell lie to Congress and federal judges in victim impact statements so he could add years to people's prison sentences. That's what this guy's done. He sleeps like a baby at night. All right, let's call it 10:20. I got more. I got Fanone next. Oh, man, but I did a little Fanone last night. So. All right, Rumble Rants, thank you guys so much. Texas Billy, Buckeye 1968. Texas Billy, $50. Buckeye Nut 1968, $20. Chopper Super Nut, $10. Janet Jones, $10. Tammy L. Margrader, $10. Supergirl 21, $10. Peg Joe, $10. Patty K. 44, $5. Thank you guys so much. Really, really, really do appreciate it. Really do. It's 10:29. Ran late. I intended to do a quick one tonight, but I didn't make it. But anyway, Aaron laughed at that. But anyway, love you guys. I was doing good. I had a streak going. I was at less than 10:20 every night. Yeah, I had
like
a streak going.
2 days.
It's like two full days in a row. Now it's all blown up. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. Listen, the post game is awesome. Like, seriously, you got to stick around for it. Stick around for the post game. No more of my opinions and my pontifications. It's just like 5, 6, 7 minutes straight of awesome videos. And we listen, there'll be a little teardown, but it finishes strong. You're going to love it. Now, all the videos are great on the post game. Stick around for it. It's highly entertaining. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Back here tomorrow night at 9 p.m. God bless you. I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire and you really liked it and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily, or it will go out. Your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.